Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the Lions. Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling Western Mind today. Wisco Paul.
Good morning, Matt. So many things to talk about. It seems that way every day, but the Scalable thing is complete and utter corruption, and all of the GOP is on board with this, all of them. They don't seem to care. Because the bottom line, this guy's trying to take my vote away. He has found nothing to proceed with that, taking my vote away. And it's just, you know, I'm just going to sum it up here. This is, you know, I talk to my Republican friends and it just falls on deaf ears. I don't know what happened to a lot of the people, good people. But anyway, at any rate, I get too mad. It's just corruption, man. It's just utter corruption, and the GOP is on board with this stuff statewide. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, right. But here's the thing with Gableman. This should be a no-brainer. If a guy makes an off-color remark to a judge, an opposing female counsel, and says, impersonates the judge's voice, saying, come into my chambers, Ms. Westerberg, and dictate, and a live mic, and is making fun of the judge and opposing counsel in an off-color way, and also is sitting in the chair saying to the judge, you're biased, I'm not answering any questions, and not even taking the fifth. There's no basis not to answer him unless he takes the fifth. That's malpractice. Most malpractice cases are a little more nuanced. Most malpractice cases would go something like, he missed a filing deadline. That's malpractice, and you should get your attorney's fees back. When the guy makes an off-color remark about the judge and opposing female counsel on purpose, that's malpractice. Give us back our fees. This is a scam to begin with, but they say 900 grand. It's more than 900 grand because every time he shows up in court, he's billing. He was getting 11 grand a month. Now they say they cut it in half and he can do it as long as he wants. He is staff. And now, if he has any common sense, when the Office of Lawyer Regulation sends him a letter saying this is a serious matter, send us a brief as to why we shouldn't yank your ticket, your license. He's not going to, if he writes a letter in his own defense, he's crazy. He's going to hire a law firm. And we're paying for that law firm. In the meantime, he's being fined $2,000 a day. A day! He'll have 30 days to write the brief. That's $60,000 of fines. Voss will pay that. We deserve that back. And yes, you have Republican judges who are letting the Republican Party use our tax money as a slush fund. And yes, that's wrong, but here's a way around it. Sue him for malpractice. And if he is an insurer, they'll have to pay it. And if he doesn't, he'll have to pay it. And sue Voss and the state in the same breath. Most trial judges in the state, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, are not going to dismiss a malpractice claim against a lawyer for making an off-color remark about a judge and opposing female counsel on a live microphone in court. He didn't do it in a bar. He didn't do it at a football game. He did it in court. So when are we going to start practicing basic law? How about some basic law? I just gave you some basic law. All right, next in line, Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dick of Madison?
Well, with Gableman, that $2,000 a day fine will just come out of the tax fund at this point. It'll run the tally up even further. But my comment was going to be on the national, on the federal Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court. After seeing what we're seeing about the Thomases, give me one good reason why this man shouldn't either resign or be impeached and taken off the court, and his wife should be in jail. The Supreme Court, in my mind, has become nothing more than a arm of the Republican Party. It's so obvious that it, and at this point, why do we even listen to anything that they put out? They're supposed to be as I understand it, one of the guardrails of the way we run this country, and they're just a partisan bunch of hacks.
Yeah, that's a profound point and a sad and disturbing point. And I'm going to tell you why. There are three branches of government. We all took civics in high school. Nowadays, apparently, they don't even teach it in some high school. But, you know, I think we all did. Or we all know that there are three branches of government: the executive, the judicial, and the legislative. And in the legislative, they pass bills. Then they go to the executive, and he can veto them or not. And if he vetoes them, they can be overridden by a two-thirds vote. And he's also the commander-in-chief of the military and so forth. And there are administrative agencies under the president's supervision. But then there's the judicial. And the judicial is the only one of them that's not elected, the federal judicial. Some states permit elected judges, some don't for state judges. But federal, they're all appointed. And the idea is that this is a safeguard, exactly as you said, a safeguard. So if the, and I remember when the reading, when the founding fathers were speaking, and what they were deciding, you know, this business of having two chambers was innovative, Senate and House. I mean, remember the parliament normally had just been the parliament. You had the House of Lords, but these people were all inherited. Well, then they said, well, let's, the Congress, the House of Representatives, will be full of hot passions because they're all representing small constituencies. And then the Senate is a cooler, more deliberative medium. And the guy took his tea, and which is hot, and he poured it into the saucer. And he said, just like this, when the tea is boiling hot, you put it in the saucer, and then it cools off a little bit, and the Senate's supposed to be dispassionate. But then we have another safeguard, the Supreme Court. If even the Senate or the executive overstep their bounds, the Supreme Court can step in and correct it. Here the problem is, this Supreme Court is seen as an arm of the Republican Party. They are just flat out, for instance, they go, oh, we're going to overturn Roe v. Wade, nothing you can do about it. We're going to do this, nothing you can do about it. They are forgetting that they don't have a police force. They do not have an army. Their only weapon is legitimacy. Their only weapon is integrity, honesty, and authenticity. And when they forego that, it's a very dangerous thing. It's not good for the country. It's flat out not good for the country. And when they're all just result-oriented to benefit the Republican Party, it's not good for the country. So what do? We muddle through this. We keep our three branches of government. There's an old adage that goes like this. The Supreme Court follows the election returns. Even though they pretend they don't, they should pay attention to the will of the people. When Roosevelt was elected and he put through the New Deal, the entire New Deal was thrown out as unconstitutional by Republican justices. There was such an uproar. Roosevelt threatened to pack the court. They turned around and they said, oh, no, it was legitimate after all. Well, I am hoping that this court wakes up and that at least one justice joins Roberts and the three Democrats and does something reasonable in that Mississippi case and doesn't overturn all of Roe v. Wade. And I'll tell you what, a lot of these other decisions they're coming out with, if you are simply an appointed court that has no political legitimacy, you're not going to long survive because people aren't going to obey your orders. We can't have that, and yet the Republican Party has driven us to that. Okay, the lines are really alive. Quite a few people on the lines. I'm going to take you in order. We have to go to a quick break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Do not hang up. Back after your break.